Welcome, welcome to the show. Oh my gosh, we got another week. Hey, if you missed it last week, we had a state representative and a gubernatorial candidate, Francesca Hong. That was a lot of fun. She was, she surprised me. And we've communicated since, and she's cool. If you want to hear that again, check out that episode along with this one. All the episodes that you want to see or hear are available at civicmedia.us, wherever you get your podcasts, all of those things. And, you know, I think you're going to want to hear this one because this is an important conversation about what's going on, because there's a lot. And I don't know what's easier, dealing with the Republicans in Congress or the dentist office that he just got back from. We've got Congressman Mark Pocan. How are you, dude? Welcome back.
I'll take the dentist anytime.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell old Derek Van Orden we said hi, huh? Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
So I want to just start with, there's so much I want to talk about. But the biggest thing, obviously, is the shutdown. What is going on? How did we get here?
Yeah, so how we got here is, you know, Republicans in Congress forgetting that we're a co-equal branch of government and doing whatever Donald Trump and people like Russ Vogt, the director of Office of Management and Bureau, who is the lead author of Project 2025, want. And, you know, in December, when we had a spending agreement with them, they broke the agreement. So if you have an agreement and they don't live up to it, that makes things hard. And then in March, there was a little more controversial funding for 6 months. And they, again, didn't live up to their agreement, because what's happening is Russ Vogt has, you know, in Project 2025, if you read, you know, parts that he authored and he's been advocating for, thinks that there's this unitary theory of the executive branch. They have the power to do anything, even if that little, you know, bothersome constitution gets in the way.
That pesky
and
thing.
What they think they can do. Yeah, that little pesky thing, you know. And when we, as Congress, which actually has Article 1, you know, constitutional responsibility for the power of the purse, if we in a bipartisan way agree to spending, that should be the spending. And Russ Vogt, his theory that Trump has been doing is that no, the executive can take away that funding whenever they want to. And if we don't stand up as a co-equal branch of government, which Mike Johnson, as Speaker of the House, has not done, well, then anything we do doesn't matter, because the White House can break any deal. So what they're arguing is, oh, we've always passed continuing resolutions. Why wouldn't we this time? Well, because you've already decreased spending significantly through what we did last December, in March, and then the big ugly law. So saying that we're going to just continue where we're at after all of that is complete nonsense. So that's a big part of it. But the second part really is we're focusing on the lack of health care, what happened through that big ugly law, by kicking people off of Medicaid, by taking away the tax credits for people on the Affordable Care Act, by requiring a $500 billion cut to Medicare, and by taking funds away from rural hospitals to the point that we're gonna lose more rural hospitals in Wisconsin. You know, 15 million people are estimated to lose their health care because of that bill. And the only reason they did it was to give a tax break and make it permanent for people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump. It's for the wealthiest. So that's the fight. We're saying, you know, the average person already is paying too much for housing. Yeah. We're paying more for groceries because of tariffs, more for durable goods because of tariffs, more for energy because of the changes they did in that big ugly law. And now, also because of that, we're going to pay more for healthcare. Look, that's the opposite of what people asked for in November, and that's all they're getting.
So if the Democrats would have caved, if they would have said, all right, hey, we'll work with you, let's do this, what would have happened? I mean, just that 15
so for
million
six
people
weeks,
would, yeah,
we would have just, yeah, you people would be losing healthcare. In fact, the real important part of the healthcare argument is, in Wisconsin, I believe it's on October 17th, we're going to get the new rates for the Affordable Care Act people in Wisconsin, but also other people are getting their rates for next year. And because of those changes, there, it's not just the people on the Affordable Care Act that are going to be hurt. It's everyone, because the rate's going to go up for everyone to make up for the people that lose health insurance but still go to hospitals because they're going to get care. We don't turn people down at hospitals, but now we all pick up that expense.
Right.
So everyone is going to see increased health costs. If you're on the Affordable Care Act, though, Mark, one example, and this is what we're waiting to see exactly on October 17th, but the Kaiser Foundation had says a 60-year-old couple in my district making $85,000 a year could see a $16,000 increase in their healthcare premiums.
Oh my God. That's insane.
That means you're not going to have health insurance for a lot of people, right?
No.
Yeah. Who's got an extra $1,200, $1,400?
Right. No, that's ridiculous. So, I mean, is there any movement or are we just kind of stuck here?
Well, I know some Republicans privately will say they understand that this is bad for people. But not standing up to Trump or Russ Vote or anyone else. So if they continue to not find the backbone that they've been given at birth, then we've got a problem, right? And we'll see what happens. We're hoping that, you know, the Senate Dems hold strong. I mean, you know, it's going to be hard because part of Project 2025 is firing a bunch of federal employees.
Right.
And they're now going to do that and blame us
right
for what they do. And, you know, they had this plan anyway. It's been written in their plan, and they're executing their plan every day in all different areas of federal government. But, you know, some senators will see pain out of that. But look, they're going to do that regardless. They're just using this as an excuse. And we got to hold tough for people who are, you know, going to be really negatively hurt by those healthcare changes.
Yeah, they use every excuse they can to fire federal workers. It's ridiculous, really, you know, ever since this whole thing started. Who do you think is more responsible for this? Is it Donald Trump? Because, I mean, this is the Republican side, clearly. But is this Donald Trump or is this House Republicans?
Yeah. So, I mean, Donald Trump is at the core of all of this because they only do what he says.
Sure.
Right. So at the end of the day, this is Donald Trump calling the shots on this, Russ Vote executing on this, and the Republicans in Congress just doing what they're told.
Yeah, that's fair. And one of the things that I heard Senator Angus King said, I think it was this morning or yesterday, whenever, he said that he thinks that this gives Donald Trump more power. And I don't know, have you seen like the HUD website or USDA.gov and all of that and see the messages that's on the federal websites?
Blaming, yeah, the liberal,
yeah,
whatever. Yeah, I know. It's so ridiculous.
What
it's
the
like
hell?
Donald Trump, right? It's like a 14, like, I know, like Barron, when he was 14, was writing this ridiculousness of what they're doing. So, you know, when people are saying, you know, oh, whose is it, Schumer shutdown? Is it Republican shutdown? Look, all I know, Senate Dems and Republicans were in session this week. The Republicans in the House canceled session as we're facing a shutdown, didn't come to Washington. Democrats did go to Washington. And we were there and they weren't there and the government shut down. So even just by simple arithmetic, it's pretty obvious why there's a shutdown. But, you know, it's Donald Trump ultimately because they don't do anything he doesn't want.
So, okay, we're talking with Congressman Mark Pocan. Like, what is the political calculation that they have for dragging this out?
Well, I think their political calculation is we'll cave because they did in 2013 when they tried to do this on the Affordable Care Act. The difference is it's like comparing apples and ketchup bottles,
right?
I mean, there's not a lot of similarities because we truly were just doing a continuing resolution that continued funding. They have three times altered funding within the last year, within the last, you know, not even 12 months, and they want to lock something in that we don't support. So, you know, there's a big difference right there. But I think they can win some kind of battle, that they can fire more employees and do more parts of Project 2025 and not get blamed because they're blaming the shutdown. The thing is, bluntly, people aren't following the shutdown back home because in Wisconsin, you're not going to feel it for a few weeks, maybe even a month, unless you're dealing with a federal agency or going to a national park. So, you know, between Saturday morning and Wednesday morning, I had 35 calls on the shutdown. and we were getting up to 500 calls a day when Trump was stealing funds from nonprofits, etc. And I was told today we had more calls about the flotilla outside of Gaza than we did on the government shutdown.
Jeez.
So, you know, I think they may be calculating this in a way that, you know, most people won't feel the pain. They can do other pain because of that. But if it allows us to explain the healthcare messaging and the cost of living messaging that we're trying to fix, people will understand it. And don't forget, it's not just that those increases are coming, but, you know, listen to the Republicans' ridiculous argument. You know, Mark, this is one that alone shows the amount of BS that's going on. So they're claiming that we're fighting for $1 trillion of healthcare for, their words, illegal aliens.
Yeah, right. Right.
By federal law, not one dime can go directly to someone in Medicare, Medicaid, or the Affordable Care Act to someone who's an undocumented person, right? Because that's the terms we use, right? No one can get that money. Now, they're arguing this extremely small provision of money that goes to emergency rooms that's about 1% of Medicaid, just one of those three programs, that can go to whoever doesn't have insurance at an emergency room. And they're arguing it could go to someone who is undocumented. But, like, that is such a long extrapolation. Yeah. And they're saying $1 trillion we're trying to do. So it doesn't pass the smell test at all of what they're saying. So we just need to call it out and point to, honestly, federal law that says those dollars can't go to someone who's not a citizen. And when you do that, pretty soon they don't have any other arguments.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a terrible, terrible argument. We got a minute left before we hit the break. What can Democrats do about this? The question was that I asked before we lost you there was, what realistically can Democrats do to help get this to an end?
Yeah, so I think what we're doing is just trying to put the profile on healthcare. People are going to be hearing about people who are going to get these huge rate increases. People will be getting huge rate increases. And I think that's hopefully going to help us move on this. But, you know, previously, it was Democratic and Republican leadership would together write a continuing resolution, very much government speak, but you'd write one together to keep things open while you're negotiating. Right. This time they didn't do that. And it's just, you know, we just have to really highlight what's at risk, and it is a lot of extra cost of living for people.
Does your gut tell you this is going to drag on for a bit?
God, you know, I can't predict Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Right? That's the problem, because he's not normal. I truly don't know.
Okay.
Well, yeah, this has been just kind of a wild thing. So we're going to talk on the other side of the break here. We're sitting down with Representative Mark Pocan. We're going to talk about the health of American democracy. What's going on with that? Because, my goodness, there's been some really scary things happening in the world of our federal government. So stick around on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Mark Becker, and you're listening to The Rational Revolution. We are one.